This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, Avi Miller over there.
And we should, as a public service announcement, state that if your sex is on fire, you should probably see a doctor.
That's right.
And we have one in the studio for you.
Exactly.
Hang on. I get to play this.
The information provided by our health professional is general in nature and is not intended to replace personal medical advice. Always take responsibility for your physical and mental health by consulting your personal doctor.
There you go.
That's right. Dr. Bing from Paran is with us in the studio. Now, Bing... It seems like as the AIDS 2014 conference draws closer, there is continually and very fast moving space in regards to the HIV sector, and one of them is that of testing. Yes. And the Paran Medical Clinic is about to start something new again.
Yes, yes. So it's new for Melbourne, this Paran Market Clinic. But yes, we're starting the THOR study in Melbourne as of next week. So THOR is actually the Targeted HIV Oral Rapid Testing Study. So it's using a rapid test, yep, but it's just an oral test. So it's one that you swipe on your gums and you get a result in 20 to 30 minutes. It's part of a trial because it hasn't been approved yet for use in Australia. And it's been happening in Sydney from last year, but we asked to be part of that trial and we'll be the first site in Melbourne to start it.
Is this similar to the home testing that they have in the US?
It's actually the same kit. It's okay. The OraSure OraQuick kit, which is the one that's been used, and it's one that's suitable for home testing, but it needs to be repackaged and have more information and stuff. And I think the studies show that it's not quite as accurate just because there's more variation in how good people are at reading results at home.
So how will this test differ from the rapid test that's already happening at various sites, including your own, across the board?
Well, it's one of the it's one of the few tests that are being used around the world. So it's similar. So it's a similar sort of test. It's third generation, so it's probably not as advanced as the earlier test that we're using for the finger pricks. It's only antibody, not antigen.
Right.
So it's good at detecting established HIV infection, but probably not great at detecting seroconversion in early stages, which is similar for most of the rapid tests.
So just remind us again, what's the difference between those two, antigen and the other one?
Antibody.
The antibody. So antibody takes a bit longer to develop, so it takes a bit longer to detect on the test. The Alea test, which is the fourth generation test that's already been approved, has an antigen detector as well. So it has a chance of detecting very early infection before antibodies are developed.
Right, okay. So, but the rapid oral test won't do that?
No, it'll just look for antibodies.
Okay.
So, and what sort of, I mean, we're looking there at post-seroconversion testing, post-seroconversion positive results.
Yes.
In that sense, because yes, you don't develop antibodies until sort of post seroconversion.
Yeah, that's right. So it takes a few weeks to get antibody levels that can be detected.
Right,
and we are so a month or so.
We usually say 6 to 8 weeks to be sure.
Yep.
But a bit depends on exposure. But the other thing is that because THOR is just part of a trial at the moment because it hasn't been approved, even though you get the oral rapid test result in 20 minutes, we still require you to have a full blood test anyway. So the full blood test has a better chance of picking up seroconversions than the rapid test.
So what is the goal of the study? Is it to determine accuracy? Is it to determine ease of use? I mean, we know that it's being used elsewhere.
Yes.
So what's the actual goal of the study here in Melbourne?
And the goal of the study, this is a fairly big study from the Albion Centre in Sydney, where they're trying to recruit between 2,000 and 3,000 people to do the test. It's about acceptability and how it can be used in practice, really.
Mm-hmm.
One of the advantages for the study is that it's been funded. Therefore, someone wanting this rapid test doesn't actually have to pay for it. The study pays for a test. So that's a slight advantage at the moment.
And do you have in mind so far which patients you're most likely to benefit from this sort of test, as opposed to the other forms of testing?
I think rapid testing is good for people who are very anxious about their results, who really don't like waiting for the results. I actually think it's something that can be offered to everyone as long as you understand the drawbacks about the rapid test compared to the regular testing. I think it can be offered to everyone. I'll be quite happily offering to anyone wanting a HIV test to ask if they want to have a rapid test or not.
Sure.
And for some people, it is too confronting to think about getting results in 20 minutes and they say, no, I don't want to know so soon. But for a lot of people, they think it's quite interesting to find out your result so quickly.
As I was saying a couple of weeks ago, I had a rapid test recently and it was so easy.
Yeah. Did you have the Allaire
yes. test? Yes. And so easy and stress-free, whereas even though you know with the normal test, you know pretty much what your result will be, you can guess, and there's still a little bit of anxiety, even, an hour or two before, oh, I'm going back to get my results now.
Yep.
Whereas this, I found, was, completely stress-free.
So it's one process. I mean, most people say that they feel stress going to get the test done and then you feel stress going to get your results.
Yeah.
I suppose you truncate all that into one occasion rather than two separate occasions.
No, this was the same test that was done at midsummer as part of the... Because that was also a mouth swab test.
I actually don't think that was an OraSure OraQuick because that was one that you sent in. So I'm not sure which one they use, whereas this one has to be read between 20 and 40 minutes. So,
right.
So it has to be a different test.
Mm. But similar process.
Yeah, similar process.
Okay. Yes. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We're joined by Dr. Beng. We're talking about HIV and testing of, therefore. And so we'll be back right after this.
Hide and Seek. Joy 94.9.
Andrew the Apprentice and Avi Miller are with you. We're joined by Dr. Beng. And we're talking about the THOR study, which is the oral rapid test HIV study.
We should point out that we've had an email in on air at joy.org.au from a very unknown person named Dean Beck, who says the THOR study reminds him of the joke. So you think you're THOR? You should have seen how THOR I was.
Yes. And Dean, as we said at the top of the hour, it is not a study into Chris Hemsworth.
It's not a study of Norse gods.
Norse gods.
No, if it were. I'm just saying, if Chris Hemsworth was the one swabbing your gums, I'm quite sure you'd get a lot more people into the clinic.
Maybe we should wear a mask. Maybe Chris Hemsworth's mask.
Now, Beng, as we were saying, you've had the pinprick rapid test happening for a while now.
Yes.
Has, in your observations, I guess, has that improved testing rates?
Look, it's hard to know because, I mean, we do a lot of testing at the clinic and probably about 15 to 20% now of people would use the finger prick test as well. That's their preference as well. So it's hard to tell if it's increased testing rates. I think we recently published a paper saying how probably people who are more likely to be HIV positive prefer the finger prick test.
Right.
Probably because they've had more risks, so they're more anxious about it possibly. And that's probably a good thing, they're having the finger prick test, I think.
Okay. Now, also, of course, this week on Tuesday, we saw that the what was announced Christmas Eve, I think it was announced, the removal of the CD4 threshold.
Yes.
Which now enables people with HIV to get treatment at any point as soon as they're diagnosed.
Yes.
For you, what's that mean for you and for your patients?
I think it's good because it's opened up the conversation about treating earlier rather than waiting for this arbitrary CD4 figure to occur. It's probably helped doctors in terms of getting people on treatment who want treatment, that we've had to probably bend the truth a little bit to get them onto treatment.
Yep.
So I think it's a really good thing. I think it opens up conversations and it probably encourages people to talk to their doctor about whether they should be on treatment or not. And it puts back the treatment choice into people's hands. You know, they decide for themselves whether it's right for them.
There was also, I mean, recently we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago out of the conference of infectious diseases and stuff in the US, the partner study.
Yes.
Its interim results are showing that for HIV positive people with a suppressed viral load, their chance of transmitting HIV is almost zero.
Yes.
In fact, one of the researchers says it's practically zero. zero.
Yes.
So this also then gives HIV positive people the ability to become undetectable.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And I think with all the aims about, you know, ending HIV and getting everyone to treatments to reduce the risk of transmission, I think it's a good thing. And I think, you know, we have so many options for treatments now, and treatments are, you know, less toxic than they used to be. They're not problem-free completely, but they're fairly easy to take now. You know, it's fewer pills and there's less restrictions, fewer side effects. So I think it's something that's changed in the last 5 to 10 years.
One of the big things for me when I went on to treatment, obviously I had known about the sort of the original treatments, and one of the scariest things for me was the time constraints that used to be on the original treatments. You had to take it at exactly the same time. Yep. We don't even have that anymore.
No, you have
a bit of flexibility on time and you know that sort of thing. So it is a lot easier to adapt to HIV treatment these days.
Yeah, and all those treatments they're all very effective, and they're probably equally effective now. So it's very different now. Now the conversation we have with someone who wants treatment is about choosing the treatment that's best for someone's lifestyle and the potential side effects and which ones they want to avoid. So it's around tinkering the edges, not about how effective it's going to be anymore.
I want the one that gives me weight loss. I'm just, you know, if I could pick
out next year.
Yeah, if I could pick the side effect. Weight loss and hair growth. That would be my two side effects, thanks.
Now, how long does that conversation take? Is it a conversation that you can have pretty much straight away, or is it something that you recommend people go away and have a think about? Or
I recommend people go away because I think they need to make a very clear decision about it, and it's not a reactive decision, especially after diagnosis, because it's something they need to commit to. So I tend to have multiple conversations, give them a list of treatments that they go and look up and talk to friends about, so you can have a really robust discussion about it.
It was interesting last night, Joy 94.9 has been replaying the World AIDS Day worldwide highlights, and your episode that you were on was actually on last night.
Yes.
And I was listening to that and you were talking about, unfortunately, there is quite a high drop-off, between people saying, or people being tested and diagnosed and they're not coming back.
Yes, yes.
Do you think the new testing regimes and the new HIV medication regime will assist in reducing that drop-off?
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully when a lot of people get diagnosed and they're terrified of it, they can't deal with it and they don't come back. Or sometimes even if they come back, they just don't want to go into treatment. And hopefully with the newer treatments being out, and if people hear about them, they might think, you know, maybe it's worth considering, maybe they should discuss with their doctor about it. So hopefully open up the conversation again. And that people remain in care, that's the main thing.
Dr. Bing, thank you so much for joining us again tonight.
Thank you for having me.
And the Thor study is currently, about to happen.
Yes,
about to start.
As of Monday, about to start
at the pre-medical clinic.
We should point out as well, if you are newly diagnosed, there are plenty of, you know, there's the Phoenix workshop for Living Positive run, the VAC, GMHC have workshops as well. There's Gen Y guys, there's all sorts of Planet Positive. So if you are newly diagnosed and you're not sure about going on to treatment and you want to talk to peers and people who had experience, speak to Living Positive Victoria or the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre.
There are plenty of people to talk to.
Absolutely.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.